Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by the Vacation Planners at MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. And if you want top-notch service and the best value for your vacation dollar, visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com. Also brought to you by All-Star Vacation Homes, who offer you the highest quality in either a vacation home or condo. Hospitality has a new name, and it's All-Star Vacation Homes. Visit them at www.allstarvacationhomes.com.
It's Ashley Martin from Dallas, Texas, and you're listening to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 187 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Michelle Scribner-McLean, and with me on today's show is my lovely co-host, my wonderfully handsome co-host and great runner friend, Mike Scopa. Welcome to the show, Mike.
How come I'm not enchanting?
You're enchanted.
I'm enchanted.
I forgot to say that you are from the WDW Today podcast and very soon, touringplans.com.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. So you're going to be blogging soon for Touring Plans?
I'm going to be blogging soon for Len and his crew over there. Probably in July, I'll start spewing forth all these gems. Hopefully it'll be something.
And it's not just running, right?
It'll be things regarding Walt Disney World and maybe Disneyland, a few other things that are coming up. The blogging ideas and are backing up, so it's time to spew forth with the blogging. Yes. Yeah, so
I do okay, that. I didn't know that's how writing happened.
Yeah,
just it gets
yeah,
clogged, yeah, your brain gets clogged, and then you have to.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, well, we have a shout out today, and the shout out is to Jessica Tyler Holmes, who did her first race, and I want to say it was her longest run. It wasn't her first race; her longest run, 8 miles, and she's from Raleigh, North Carolina, and she is one of the Mickey Milers. And she is getting ready for a Tower of Terror 10-miler. You think she's ready?
She is more than ready if she can run 8 miles at this time of year in North Carolina.
Yes. She just has to keep up that conditioning. And I think she's doing it for the cookies. But anyway, today on the show, we are going to revisit a topic that is really a hot topic in the world of Run Disney. And I know that people on our Facebook page and Mickey Miler's page like to talk about this a lot. And that is the topic of the upcoming and newly announced Star Wars weekend in California. So I don't remember what episode it was. Maybe 10 episodes ago we had some guests come on and we talked about this new race. And Mike, what was the consensus?
Well, we talked with Ashley and Sam Turner.
Ashley and Sam. Mm-hmm.
And we talked about, what happened was that there was so much speculation regarding this race. There was some.
And we added to it, I think.
Yeah, there was some. I mean, sometimes you hear certain things and you just want to talk about them. And so there was a lot of speculation and there was a lot of anticipation. And we all began to think that we knew what Run Disney was going to do, and so we thought, okay, this is when we think it will happen, this is where we think it will take place, and a few other things. And it made what we thought was sense to us. And then the announcement came out, and the race was not when we were going to expect it. It was also not where we were going to expect it, but even more so, and there was a conspiracy theory about this, it was the timing of the announcement that bothered a lot of us. So mm-hmm. You add all three together, and there was a lot of not-so-happy people.
Right.
So that's what came about.
So we had a discussion about that, and some folks wrote in and mentioned to us that they thought it was a little bit sour grapes that we were kind of leaning towards mm-hmm. the Walt Disney World. It should have been at Walt Disney World because that's where we do most of our running, and that's where a lot of people were saying that it should be because that's where they run. But other people had a different point of view, And they thought it should be on the West Coast. And one of those people is our guest. What a long introduction to our guest. And her name is Julia Locus. And Julia, did I say your last name correctly?
You did.
Okay. Welcome to the show, Julia.
Thanks so much for having me.
And you're from California?
Yeah, I'm the Bay Area.
Okay. So why don't you, before we get into your reasons why you think it's a good idea that it's on the West Coast, why don't you give us a little bit of your running background and maybe your Run Disney / Disney background?
Sure. First of all, I hated running. That's really where I started. Just was rough childhood and, you know, did not mesh well with me and what I thought my body wanted. But a couple years ago, I was in Disneyland over Labor Day weekend on a spur of the moment trip with a friend and saw all these people walking around with their medals and, you know, the kids, the parents, everybody. And I looked at my friend and I was like, I've got to find out what's going on. And Jamba Juice said, hey, we're open early for the events. And I was like, what are these events? So I went and started asking some people about their medals and found out you can run in Disneyland. Like, this is news to me. So that is honestly where it all started. That was in about, so that would have been about September 2011. In December 2011, we adopted a darling little boy. He was 3 weeks old at the time, and that it kind of happened in about 2 days, so there wasn't a whole lot of time leading up to it. And just at that point, you know, you have kids, life changes, and I was kind of like, I need to make some changes, one of which is getting in shape. And so around springtime 2012, I was like, I need to be able to keep up with this little guy. I'm going to start running, and saw that the Disneyland half marathon was coming up again. And I was like, okay, this may be kind of crazy. I've never run before. I'm going to shoot for a half marathon. And at that point, registration was sold out, I believe. So I ended up signing up through the Special Olympics of Southern California and supporting them through fundraising, which I actually thought was really great because it enabled me to shoot for a large personal goal as well as take the focus off of myself and put money and energy toward a good cause. So that, I think, was kind of a win-win for me.
Oh, that's really exciting. So you actually came from a place that a lot of people have come, that you don't like running, but you do like Disney.
Exactly.
And so had you visited Disneyland a lot when you were growing up in the Bay Area? I know it's a bit of a hike.
Yeah, you know, it's not too bad. Like, it makes for a long weekend, but a doable weekend. It's about 6-hour drive. Especially if you can get a half day on Friday, it's not too bad. But growing up here, we had, like, our church groups, our youth groups. You know, we marched in the band down Main Street, and, you know, choir would perform down there. So, and maybe the church youth group would go down once a year. So growing up, I maybe went 1-2 times a year or so when you're talking junior high school age. And then I was out of the state for several years. So I had a Disney drought for a little while there.
So that was your first race. Have you done any others?
I have. So I did the Disneyland half that year. I did the Tinkerbell half the following January, so 2013. And then in between, I did do some 5Ks, worked myself up to I did a 10K turkey trot over Thanksgiving. And then this past January, I did the inaugural Tink 10K. So I've only done the 3 Disney races, but I've done maybe about 10 or so 5K, 10Ks in between to help with my training. And last year I kind of just dropped it off again. So picking up with the 10K this January was kind of my kicking it off moment.
Oh. Have you run in Disney World?
Not yet, but I am signed up for Dopey.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So
I am frightened and excited.
So when you heard this announcement, you were very excited.
I was.
And now I know that you're going to do Dopey. So you're going to do Dopey and then fly home, and then you're going to be doing the Star Wars races?
I wish. Mm-hmm. Okay. If I could go back in time, and this goes back to what Mike was saying about the timing of the announcement. So when we decided earlier this year that, okay, I'm going to go for this big, huge goal and take this year to kind of change my health, change my life, and accomplish something huge next January, we decided to make it a big family vacation. So we had already scheduled out time in the parks after the races, and then we were going to do the Disney cruise at the very end. Of course, it's not the one that they've opened the Castaway K Challenge for. It's the one after that. But I can't really complain about being on a cruise versus being available for the race. But I'm hoping next year I will be able to do it.
Okay. So you had some specific reasons why you actually thought it was a good idea of having this race in California. Do you want to tell us what the first one was? I think it had to do with the crowd level in January.
Yeah, exactly. So from my perspective, so my husband and I got married in January and we spent our wedding night in Disneyland. And so that's kind of been a special time for us. And so January, while a lot of rides are closed for refurbishment, has always been a nice time to visit in terms of the crowds. And then they opened Tinkerbell a few years ago, and suddenly that's not the case anymore. January has become a very, especially that weekend, that Martin Luther King weekend, is now quite a busy weekend. So I do think that's part of why they put a race there to begin with. From what I can tell, I went on to Touring Plans and went through their crowd trackers for the last several years. And you can see, especially if you're looking at the Thursday, now that they've added the 10K, but even just in general, like the last 2 years for the Sunday of that weekend was a 10 out of 10. The Saturdays, you know, historically had been around a 6, maybe 7. And they've been up to an 8, 9, 10 these last couple years since adding the race. So every single day of that holiday weekend has become much more crowded since adding the Tinkerbell Half Marathon. So I, from a business revenue perspective, I do think adding a race then made sense. So when I heard they were moving Tinkerbell, I was kind of surprised. But I think in the back of my mind, I kind of thought, well, I wouldn't be surprised if they put something else there.
Oh, so you're saying that it wasn't busy and then Tinkerbell was there and the crowd levels went up? And then now they're moving it, and they're replacing it with Star Wars. So I get what you're saying. You did your homework, huh?
I did. Well, it was a suspicion on my part, and I wanted to kind of look at the numbers and make sure that, you know, it matched with reality.
Hey, Julie, this is Mike. I have a question. What is the weather like out there in in late April and early May? Like for instance, excuse me, if they were to hold a race that began at 7 o'clock in the morning, what would the temperature be normally in mid-April to mid-May?
Down in Anaheim, you know, you could have anywhere from like 60s. I think this last like Mother's Day weekend, because we were there for May the 4th and it got, were we in the, I don't know, about 70. We got into the 80s, but it probably would have been upper 60s, low 70s early in the morning.
And the reason why I say that is that, I was wondering if there was any consideration to putting that race on the weekend that is normally, I think you have a Star Wars day in May.
Well, May the 4th. Mm-hmm. May the 4th be with you.
Yeah.
And you would think that maybe that would have been something to coincide with Star Wars weekends at mm-hmm. Walt Disney World. So I was really, one of the two things that was really, really surprising was that the placement of the race. I mean, we knew that it was 50-50. It was going to be one coast or the other. But the when it was actually scheduled and when it was announced. So I was just wondering if you were thinking about if the Star Wars weekend race weekend was going to be on the West Coast. Were you thinking about a certain time of the year in which it would take place?
Once they had moved Tinkerbell, I was thinking January. because I was thinking, okay, they've got a vacancy and they've built up the infrastructure there. They've certified the course. Well, although presumably they might change the course, but you know, that all the neighborhood and everything like that has been all set. But other than, you know, a fall race, before they announced Avengers, a fall race would have been my other thought.
So one of your second points was, we sort of skirted around this issue, but we know that there are lots of Star Wars weekends at Walt Disney World at Hollywood Studios, but aside from May the 4th, there's nothing really in Anaheim. Is that correct?
It's correct. I mean, we have...
That's another case for having it there. Yeah, you have Star Tours.
Right. But no, these last 2 years, when they started doing limited time magic, that was the first year that for May the 4th and May the 5th, they had, they announced it like 3 days beforehand. There was t-shirts and pins. And so if you were some of the lucky few or you could afford to go on eBay, you could get those. But that was it. There was no special characters. There was no events. It was just a little merchandise.
And have you read about, and you must have seen online what they do at the studios.
Oh, it sounds unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. All the characters. So you think it was high time for something to be in Disneyland.
Yeah. In fact, we were really hoping now that the Lucas merger had gone through that maybe this year, that 2014, they would have done at least a weekend, but no, it was just shirts and pins again. So it's high time for something Star Wars on this coast.
So you're a Star Wars fan.
I am.
Okay. And do you think that having this weekend, this race weekend, be in Disneyland will bring out people who are Star Wars fans but not necessarily runners?
I do. My husband being one of them. I think, especially being in the LA area, I mean, we have ILM here in California. I mean, there's quite a bit of people.
Industrial, I mean, it's Magic, is that it?
Yes, sorry. Yeah, the Lucasfilm Studios up here in the Presidio. So there's, from that perspective, you know, you've got those from the business side. But I also just think there's a ton of fans. I mean, between the Comic-Cons type events that go on down here, I do think you could get a new group of people who would come out for a Star Wars race that maybe hadn't done running before.
Yeah, and all the merchandise that goes with it.
Exactly.
And you just lost the Lucas Museum to Chicago, I heard. On a different note.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, the addition of the Star Wars race weekend to Disneyland sort of balances out the the Run Disney slate, because now we have, well, let's see. So in Walt Disney World, we have the January races. We have the Princess. We have Expedition Everest, which is a minor race weekend. We have the Tower of Terror, and we have Wine and Dine. And now in Disneyland on the West Coast, we have Tink, we have Avengers, we have Star Wars, and we have the Disneyland Half. So from that perspective, it's balanced right now, at least on this continent.
Right. And for this moment.
For this moment.
So your third point had to do with the Tinkerbell. Do you want to share what your idea was about that?
Yeah, I said that in my experience, Tinkerbell felt a little bit more like Drizella or Anastasia, you know, the stepsisters, than it did Tinkerbell. I was really surprised after, so my first experience being Disneyland Half, the energy, social media and otherwise, just even in the parks, just the whole atmosphere, I was blown away. So I was very excited about Tinkerbell being my second event and got my cousin to run it. It was her first half marathon. And while we had a great time and it was a lot of fun, I really felt like we were just kind of in the shadow of everything going on at Walt Disney World Marathon Weekend. And not to belittle that at all. I mean, everything that's going on there is wonderful, but it just kind of almost felt like an afterthought, or, you know, oh yeah, here's this other race too. You know, there was definitely some energy put into it, but it was not, in my opinion, equivalent to what I had experienced in September. And so I was kind of thinking, you know, I wonder if Star Wars will stack up a little bit stronger against the Walt Disney World Marathon weekend in terms of attention, energy, just people draw, everything.
And do you think there'll be a lot of local people running Star Wars? The thing about Walt Disney World races is it's really people from all over the country, all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to me that a lot of the, at the beginning of some of the Disneyland races, the race announcer will ask how many people here from California, how many people here from wherever. And it seems like there's always an awful lot of people there from California.
I would expect there's probably going to be a good portion of people from California there. But I would kind of think this would draw, I don't know if it would draw abroad or not, but I would think it would draw hopefully across the country.
Cool. Mike, do you have any other questions for Julia? Or Julia, do you have any other points you want to make?
I think that was just it. I mean, I do love the idea that maybe they will add one to Star Wars Weekends and then you could have another coast-to-coast type challenge. I mean, it would have made a lot of sense to me, too. I could see where adding it to the Star Wars Weekends would have made a lot of sense. But from a fan perspective, I don't know, from a business perspective, they've already got the people there. If they were trying to lure more people, I do think having it on the West Coast made a little bit more sense from my perspective.
Well, as I had mentioned in that podcast that we had done with Ashley and Sam, that mm-hmm. We had received a press release that talked about what type of revenue is brought into the Anaheim area on those weekends. So I think that was part of the decision-making process to maybe to balance out the race slate for the year, calendar year, as well as to, you know, play the good neighbor. I think that it will be interesting to see there. So in years to come, with the popularity of the Star Wars brand and everything, to see how quickly the Star Wars race weekend sells out. And I can tell you, Julia, I was not surprised how quickly it sold out.
You know? Yeah, nor was I.
Yeah. So maybe, like us, you might be there next year.
That is my hope, yes.
But Julia, we want to thank you for writing in and for giving us your perspective. You made some excellent points about this. And I think from a Disneyland, primarily a Disneyland fan and a West Coaster, there are definitely things that you thought of that we didn't think of. So we thank you for being on the show.
Well, I appreciate you giving me a few moments to share my thoughts.
So we know that this discussion is going to continue on Facebook as people continue to think about this. And hopefully we'll have John Hughes on the show. We can ask him some questions about it. I wanted to mention that Julia also just had a blog for us on the Mickey Miles website. So MickeyMilesPodcast.com. If you look at News from the Road, you'll see her blog there. Maybe we can have you blog again, Julia.
Oh, I'd love that.
And be on the show again. So for my co-host Mike Scopa, for Julia Locus, and my name is Michelle Scribner-McLean. We will see you on the road.
This episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast has been brought to you by All Star Vacation Homes. If you are looking for the highest quality vacation home or condo for your next Walt Disney World vacation, then you need to visit them at www.allstarvacationhomes.com, where hospitality has a new home. And by MEI and Mouse Fan Travel, nobody can give you better service and get more for your vacation dollar than the vacation planners at MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. So for your next Disney or non-Disney vacation, visit them at MEI-travel.com, mousefantravel.com, or click on their banner at MickeyMilesPodcast.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/MickeyMilesPodcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/MickeyMilesPod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gray saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.